Tonight we're going to start our study on the subject, the Holy Spirit as a teacher. We have been studying the work of the Holy Spirit for the past several weeks. And one thing that struck me as I began to prepare for this message and to meditate and think upon it, you think of all the religions in the world, and I want to say unequivocally, there is only one way to God. It's not through the teachings of Muhammad or Buddha or Confucius. It's not through Islam. It's not through a man in the sense of a religious leader. It's only through Jesus Christ. And of all the religions in the world, only genuine Christianity requires and provides a supernatural teacher. God Himself is our teacher in the third person of the Sacred Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. No earthly qualification can enable anyone to grasp the spiritual truth of God. Not how intelligent you are, how intellectual you may be, where you were born, your station in life, your measure of wealth, your skin color. None of that matters. You must be taught of God to know the truth as it is in Jesus. And as I thought about that amazing truth, I pray that God will remind us of our great need of the divine teacher, the Holy Spirit of God, to open up our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of God's law. Because without the teaching, without the ministry, without the enlightenment and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we would know nothing in the spiritual realm. We would have no grasp of the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. We wouldn't understand the importance and the significance of His death and His burial and His resurrection and His intercession and His second coming were it not for the power and the working and the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. And as we think about that, what an honor, what a privilege to be brought to truth by the teaching work of the Holy Spirit in us. He truly is, as Jesus called Him in John 15:26, the Spirit of Truth. Again, this is unique from all other religions. The one who was our teacher is the one who inspired our textbook. He is the one that moved upon men to write precisely what God wanted to reveal to man. Everything you need to know, or everything God wants you to know at this point, is all found in the book that the Holy Spirit inspired and moved upon men to write. And this book is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed, literally. And it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And the Holy Spirit acts as our personal divine teacher of the book that He has inspired. And the Bible is our infallible textbook of faith and practice. Opinions don't match up with the Word of God. Emotions You know, we live in a world today where everybody wants to base their system of belief on how they feel at any given moment. That is nonsense. You have to have a standard of truth. You have to have something that is a plumb line that you measure everything else against. And we have that. And the Holy Spirit of God supernaturally inspired the Word of God. And every Word of God is pure because it comes from a pure source, the Holy Spirit. And certainly the inspiration of the New Testament was a great part of Christ's promise concerning the coming of the Spirit as our teacher there in John chapter 14 and verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, listen, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The Holy Spirit of God, He does teach us all things that He inspired that's found in His Word. What a glorious thing to realize that a little guy on Buffalo Creek Road can be taught of God, can be personally tutored, taught, enlightened, encouraged, empowered, energized by the truth and the working of the Holy Spirit to be able to bring to light what is found in His Word. That's a powerful truth. So the Spirit, as our teacher, He's the one that wrote the textbook. And He's the one that teaches us the principles, the precepts that we find that will guide us into all truth. How is it then that you're brought to a place of understanding? I lived 21 years with no understanding of the Word of God at all. I had no interest in it. I had no desire for God. How is it that I was brought to a place where I wanted to know the truth? Well, the fact is, unsaved men are in a state of total spiritual ignorance. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. We have no understanding in our natural state. We are completely, entirely, spiritually ignorant. We are in darkness when it comes to the truth of God. That's why Jesus said, if you're going to see the kingdom of God, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you must be born again. You must have a supernatural birth performed by the power of the Holy Spirit of God Himself if you are to know any spiritual truth, because we were in darkness. The Bible describes unsaved people. This is how I was: blind, asleep, foolish, full of darkness, ignorant, incapable. And this condition is not to be viewed merely as an absence of knowledge. A lot of people know things about the Bible. There are some people that can tell you facts that they read in the Bible. But I'm talking about this natural inability to appreciate, comprehend, and receive spiritual truth. Sinners may be well versed in the Bible, but they can never truly discern the things of the Spirit of God. That's why the cross is such an offense to them. Let's face it, what is every other religion that is opposed to Christianity, genuine Christianity, what's their whole system based on? I can define it in one word. Works. Every false religion bases their system of belief on human performance. They do not take into account that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They don't take into account the total depravity of man, that in his flesh dwells no good thing, no ability to understand, no ability to comprehend. Every false religion does not understand the condition that man is in. And as a result, they think that either by man's willingness or his works, his abilities, his intelligence, that somehow he can garner enough support for by what he's done to get to heaven. And it's a lie. You aren't good enough to get to heaven. And there's nothing that you can do to make you good enough to get to heaven. Because you're broken. You're corrupt. You're polluted. You're sinful. You're depraved. You're ungodly. You're unlike God. You're unrighteous. You don't have the righteousness that God requires. These are all biblical terms that the world at large mainly rejects. And that's why every false religion says the way to God, oh, well, you just got to sign a little pledge, say a little prayer, get baptized, make sure that you're doing everything just the way that our church, the standards that we have, check all the boxes. All that's a lie. The Spirit of God never teaches that kind of nonsense and confusion. The Spirit of God always teaches Christ crucified, buried, and risen again as the only way of salvation. The Holy Spirit inspired it to be written, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Lost sinners don't see that. And that's why they're opposed to the cross. They don't like the notion of a bloody sacrifice, a crucified Christ who had to die because their sins were so wicked and damnable that it required the second person of the Holy Trinity to die the death of deaths and offer up His body, soul, and spirit so that we can be saved. They reject it. That's why the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's why I'm in total opposition to the idea of the social gospel. That somehow you can give people things, make their environment better, and somehow that will enhance their ability to be saved. No, improvement won't get it. You need a radical change by the power of the Holy Spirit in the new birth. A large part of the Spirit's work in regeneration consists in bringing the elect a true knowledge of spiritual things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 23, "But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." The new birth is compared by Paul to the creation of light. Genesis chapter 1 verse 3, where it talks about the Spirit, the Scripture says that there was light, the Spirit of God moved and created light. That's what has to happen in the new birth. We're in darkness. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You need spiritual life that enables you to see the light, enables you to receive and comprehend the light of the glory of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Peter 2, that the saints of God are called out of darkness into His marvelous light. And you know when this happens to you. You know when you're brought out of that darkness you were in to see Christ for you. Christ dying in your stead, not seeing it with your eyes, but seeing it by the faith that the Spirit of God gives you immediately upon regeneration. And He gives you an understanding that it's only Jesus that can take away your sins. Only His blood can cleanse and satisfy God's demands. Only His finished work can justify you before God. And every Christian who's truly saved person has been personally taught of God to know this. You can't know God apart from Jesus Christ. We've been studying in the high priestly prayer. Jesus said as much in John 17:3. You don't know God apart from Jesus Christ. And you won't know Jesus Christ apart from the regenerating power and the enlightening power of the Holy Spirit, who brings you to life and immediately enables you to see the glory of the light that is in Christ Jesus. I've met people that have testified that they sat in churches for years and yet were spiritually blind, until God opened their eyes and opened their heart and brought them to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why, again, I know sometimes you think I sound like a broken record, that I emphasize the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, that I'm constantly enforcing this idea. It's only Christ. It's only Jesus. There's no other way. Because that's the truth. And so many religions don't even acknowledge that. They say, well, yeah, it's Christ plus this or that. No. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is the only thing that God accepts. Now here's a thought we'll end on tonight, and it's a sad one. One of the saddest things connected with the teaching that we're studying is that the unsaved, the unregenerate, for the most part, are completely unaware of their own blindness. They think they're perfectly normal. Right, Gavin? They think they're normal. They think that they're certainly they deserve to go to heaven. They're a good person. They don't see their sin like God sees it. And what's even more, I don't even have the word to describe it. There are blind people, unsaved people, who want to lead other unsaved people into this darkness. You actually have the blind leading the blind. In churches all across America, you have preachers who have no knowledge of Jesus Christ, no knowledge of the power of the gospel. Their heart, their mind, their life never been changed. And they're trying to lead other people. And it's sin. It's wrong. Oh, that God would help us tonight to be so thankful that the Holy Spirit has been pleased to open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of His law. We'll get on to the teaching of the Holy Spirit as a teacher next week. We'll finish there tonight.